Here's Darren Dreger at TSN Hockey Insider. We're just talking about the Berube, Kadri comments, and Craig Berube came out today and spoke on it. Do you think the league would send him a note or the team and say, hey, we think it's in your best interest to circle back on this and get in front?
Yeah, probably. The team, for sure. Whether or not the NHL would get involved, maybe casually, you know, maybe the public relations department of the National Hockey League says, hey, it wouldn't be a bad thing as the coach of the St. Louis Blues, a role model in the community, to come out and just, you don't have to talk about Nazem Kadri per se as a hockey player, but just make sure that, you know, you take a position that the social bullying, the racial attacks, the death threats, the stuff that, you know, his wife posted that the family is dealing with is grossly unacceptable. And I wonder if it wasn't provoked to some degree, too, by Steve Kerr from Golden State, right? I mean, there's a guy that stood at the podium and didn't even take questions. I mean, his intent was plain and simple. It comes from a different place emotionally because of the history with his father and all of that. But, look, we know Craig Berube. Craig Berube is a good guy. You know, if he had sat and thought about it for 30 seconds or less, you know, he'd have a strong opinion on it. And of course he'd be vehemently opposed and would want to do everything within his power to make sure that his players, every player on the National Hockey League, every athlete in pro sport wouldn't have to deal with this kind of nonsense. But as he said, he's not on social media. Maybe it wasn't brought to his attention. And, you know, he's focused on just making sure the St. Louis Blues are ready. So I was okay with him circling back and throwing his weight around.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Now, as for that series, it kind of feels like probably the end of the road tonight. And if so, I mean, that would be Colorado home free, Tampa home free. We were talking about this in the last hour. Feels like it's going to be difficult for any team to knock out Colorado in the West and Tampa in the East, right? I mean, those are the clear-cut favorites at this point.
Yeah, and look, I think that's also why, if you're the Oilers, not to look too far ahead of yourself, that would be a mistake. And maybe we're looking too far ahead and just assuming Colorado is going to beat St. Louis. But, you know, you pay attention to what's going on around the league. And Tampa Lightning are sitting there, and they are getting healthy at the most important time of the year. And they're hoping that the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes beat each other's brains in for the remainder of that series. And so it's important to wrap it up as early as possible. I don't know. I said the same thing about Calgary last night that I'll say with the St. Louis Blues today. I mean, there's just too much experience, depth, and talent there. I think that the Blues still have some fight left in them, with all due respect to Colorado, who are moving like a pretty finely tuned machine right now. But I think the same of Calgary. You know, I think that both those series are far from over.
Dregs, you know, I know the playoffs, there's nothing as far as information, but, you know, just your instinct. Do you think that we'll see Braden Point at any point in this playoffs, or do you think he's just, it's optically? Because I personally, and we talked about it last hour, I don't think he's playing. I personally don't.
I tend to agree with you. I mean, we all saw the same thing, right? And you know, how much pain he was in when he did whatever it was that he did. And then he tried to come out, and he hobbled a couple of times getting back to the bench. And, you know, John Cooper doesn't even want to talk about it anymore because, A, he's not going to give an update, and, B, it's probably mostly because Braden Point isn't going to be available anytime soon. But it is the miracle of modern medicine. You know, could he be suddenly available in the Stanley Cup final? You know, we'll see how things play out. I don't poke around that much this time of year when it comes to the specifics on injury, because I feel like that puts people in a tough spot. So I don't know the specifics of the injury that Point is dealing with. So, you know, we can all see the area. We can assume what he's got going on. But the extent, I don't know. I'm going by what people around the organization have said, how unlikely it is, and based on what we saw when, it looked like his playoff run was ended.
Darren, do you think Cooper gets enough flowers? It seems like there's a lot of about the players, and it just seems like year after year, everyone's trying to just not look at a John Cooper and find something else. It just seems like, I don't know if he gets enough love.
I don't think he does, though. I don't. And look, I was having a conversation with Paul Maurice yesterday, and we were talking about a bunch of things and different coaching styles and all of that. And, you know, he brought up John Cooper, and he brought up the evolution of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and not just the player rotation and how players have seasoned over time, and they've toughened up mentally and all the things that you need to hoist that Stanley Cup. But he talked about how at some point John Cooper convinced those players that they had to play a different way, right? So it couldn't be just straight up and down. Like they had to be willing to sacrifice in certain cases some offense and play different roles. That was uncomfortable for a number of players. And I'm not talking about the fringe guys. I'm talking about the core of the team. And from that point moving forward, I mean, the success is pretty obvious. You know, so why shouldn't John Cooper be acknowledged for being a primary role in all of that, right? So I think that's fair. Too often we in the media, not saying you guys because you've lived it, but we look at the success and we look at the star talent, Nikita Kucherov, and the best goalie on the planet, and Vasilevsky, and player after player after player. But there are other teams with really good players that just never find the way. So I don't think John Cooper gets nearly enough credit.
Dregs, back to the Battle of Alberta. Connor McDavid, like, he is a man possessed right now, don't you think? Like, it seems like we were talking about Colorado and Tampa going to the finals and the percentages of that happening, but the way McDavid is just on fire, like, it wouldn't I wouldn't put it past him if they somehow do it and get to a final.
Man, I'm with you. Like, you know, we talked so much going into Game 4 about what Calgary needed to do, and you know, Calgary got unlucky in a couple of spots in that game. I thought they defended better against Connor McDavid. You know, I mean, it was more of a swarm defense, or so it appeared, you know, and that impacted him. But at the end of the night, you look at the score sheet and you see McDavid's got 2 points and Leon Draisaitl's got 3. And, oh, there's Evander Kane with his fifth multi-goal game of the postseason. So you can defend, but only to a point. And that's just the level or levels that Connor McDavid has pushed himself individually, but has dragged others into that as well. And now, you know, if I'm Calgary or any team for that matter watching that series, I'm starting to get concerned, right? I mean, look at the bounce back after the Mike Smith gaffe in that third period. I mean, that was a game series changing mistake, but they didn't crumble. They bounced right back. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins talked about it calmly post-game, about how they just went, well, that's unfortunate. let's go out and do something about it. And that's exactly what they did. So, you know, they've got a lot of push coming from all corners there. You know, even the depth guys, you know, Archibald is playing good. You know, Ryan McLeod looks to me like he's going to be a player. Like he looks like he can certainly skate at a high level, but he's got a little bit more intensity than I think, you know, Oilers fans saw all season long, and he's bringing it to a degree in the postseason. So I think McDavid deserves credit for that, right? How can a player of his significance elevate his game into a new stratosphere and everyone around him not want to do everything they can do? So the question at Calgary is, you know, I'm sure poring over video with the coaching staff and whatnot and teams around the league that are still in the postseason are asking is, man, how do we stop that? How do we shut that down?
With Darren Dreger, well, you know, Ken Holland's been around the block for a long time, and he's taken heat, you know, the last,
I'd
say, 10 years of his career, really. And
Hazy, what a turnaround. People hated that guy. They were like, what are you doing? Now they love him.
Well,
I know.
Now, exactly, because look what's happening. Hyman's having an impact, clearly. Kane is having a big impact. Nugent Hopkins, he gave the bag to. He had 2 last night, including the game winner.
Duncan
Mike
Keith.
Smith, you know, Duncan Keith. I thought Keith looked good last night. Like, he's blended in. Yeah, he's
Cody
not.
Cody Ceci looks great.
Yeah.
Right?
Like all of a sudden, yeah. Holland, you know, he's probably puffing his chest out a little bit, I would think, in Edmonton.
Well, that's not how he rolls. You know that, Brian. But I, you know what? He's just not afraid to put his neck out there, right? Like he's had so much success in his career that he's not going to cower away from his instincts. And, you know, so when we wonder, if we look into the future, we know that the Edmonton Oilers aren't immune to cap issues. They've been through it. He's helped manage them through it. And they're going to be back in it again. And we're wondering about, well, how do you let Evander Kane go? Well, how do you keep him, right? Depending on what the market's going to be. I might be in the minority thinking that the market is going to be strong, depending on the term and the AAV, obviously. But I also think that Evander Kane knows that he's in a real good place. I think Kenny Holland might be the only general manager in the league that is going to put a term on the table that would surprise some. It would. I like the sweet spot for me for Evander Kane, if I were a general manager, would be somewhere around 3 years. No, probably no more. But Kenny Holland might look at it and go, you know what? If I can bring the AAV down, I know I'm going to have to move out some bodies here or there to make it work anyway. You know, he's been a proven performer. You know, the leadership core there is sound. We'll keep him in line. I may not be here in 4 or 5 years anyway. I'm going to be on a golf course in Vernon, B.C. So I'm just going to sign him because I can see what he's brought to this organization on the top line on that left side. Well, you do that if you're a general manager who has, again, a full understanding and comfort in making decisions based on experience and not worrying a rat's you-know-what about what's going to happen 6 months from now, a year from now, or what the media is talking about.
Yeah, but that, yeah. You know, that's the biggest thing. It's been really talked about today, but what would be the number? Like, that's the crazy. Like, what would Evander Kane be able to
Jamie,
get?
He's going to want $7 million.
Well, that's what he had from San Jose. He's coming off that. Like, and he's at 30.
He wants it again. He's leading the playoffs with goals.
I know. And he's probably, you know, there would be teams that would line up to give him that. He's a power forward who can fight and score. But he's got a great situation there in Edmonton, too. Like, that's the thing. Is the grass greener on the other side? He might be able to garner more money somewhere else,
right?
But are you gonna, like, he's gonna ride shotgun with the best player on the planet? Steve Dryden said the best, the Quizmaster said the best player of all time.
McHockey God.
You use that, like, right, Dregs? You can mix that in for an insider trading at some point, I'm sure.
Never in my life. Never. Not one time. Okay. There's two things I won't say other than in jest. Connor McHockey God.
Yes.
And Al's brother.
Al's brother. You've been pretty diligent against that. Yeah, you will not.
What do you call him?
Al's brother.
What do you call him? Mikey?
Mike. I just call him Mike.
That is his real name.
When he pisses me off, which he does on occasion, I might refer to him as Michael.
Wow.
Yeah. Also known as. That was the best part. When we were at the prospect game, he was announced as Al's brother, also known as Michael DiStefano. First time ever the also known as flipped. But, you know, that's the way it works in junior, man. Yeah. That's the way it worked in the prospect game. But, we'll see. We got one game tonight. And, you know, the Battle of Alberta, I obviously, for me, I'm hoping Calgary finds a way to extend it. I just want to see this series continue. It's been a lot of fun
to
watch.
I think they will. Yeah, I think they will. Jacob Markstrom isn't going to make the mistakes in the first period. Or moving forward that he made in the first period, I don't think. It's not like anyone on Calgary's side has pushed hard enough, right? Like, we keep looking at the top guys, but, you know, the rest of that group, they can find a way to do something. You know, Mangiapane looks distracted at times. He was better last night, but getting into the scrums and all that stuff, and Toffoli has been somewhat quiet. Blake Coleman has been somewhat quiet. I mean, go down the list, right? You expect Goodrow and Tkachuk to lead offensively, but it doesn't mean that the other guys are allergic to putting the puck in the net. So.
Yep, agreed. That's very valid. Very valid. Anyway, Dregs, enjoy the game tonight, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider.